Scripture comes today from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, the first letter, at least what we call the first letter of Corinthians. First chapter, verses 1 through 9, this is the opening, the salutation of the letter. As Paul opens this letter to them, let us listen in it for what it says to us. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God for you because of his grace given to you in Jesus Christ, for in him you have been enriched in every way, with all kinds of speech and knowledge, God confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, on a perhaps ordinary morning in an ordinary part of our week, in a regular place, by your Spirit, do something unexpected in us and to us and with us. Say something to us that we need to hear, that we may be something the world needs to see. In Christ we ask. Amen. He's no longer with us, but for many years there was a parishioner here at First Press, a wonderful, sweet man, but a man who had some struggles in life, and we would hear from him somewhat regularly, maybe monthly, sometimes weekly, which was fine. He would typically call when there was some sort of crisis or something happening. And again, that was expected, that was welcomed, except I will admit that when you answered the phone and heard his voice, you knew somewhere between 30 and 60 minutes of your time had just been claimed. There always was a little bit of ugh when you realized it. I'm sure it's happened to everyone. The phone rings, you look down for who it is, or if you remember the good old days, you answer, play the lottery. You're in a hurry at the store, you bump into a talker. There's a letter in the mailbox, but you know it's from the person who does nothing but complain. I don't think it's a stretch. We all have some people in our life who are better taken in small doses. And we may be those people to someone else. I'm sure that I am. And it's not just people. Organizations can do it to you. Many years ago, I was asked to work with a church. Their pastor had gone on and they were looking for a pastor. And so in the meantime, I would go and meet with them and help them do their stuff. And it started off fine, but I quickly became something I dreaded. I didn't look forward to it. At each and every meeting, they argued with each other about everything. They complained a lot. They blamed a lot. I remember thinking at one point, it's no wonder your pastor left. And I also remember thinking, I'll be really glad when you find your new one. And I tell you this, not trying to, you know, set a negative tone, but to set the stage for our passage. One of the things that Paul did, Paul was a missionary, Paul preached, Paul was especially mindful, had a heart toward the Gentiles, which caused some riffles with relationships with the Jewish people. But the other thing Paul did is he was kind of a consultant for churches. Many of those churches he planted, but not all of them. He kind of pastored by proxy in several congregations. He would send letters, which didn't have mail, that would be carried by courier, or he would send an ambassador, and he would try to help churches navigate being church. They were in the first evolution of this Christian experiment, and Paul was trying to guide them, to help them in various ways, including in at least one instance that we know of, raising money in one church on behalf of another church. Now, all of these letters that we have, and there are a couple that we don't have, he sent to churches. He sent to address the things that were happening. And of those letters, our collection, the biggest chunk of writing that we know that Paul did was to the church in Corinth. We have two letters. They're the two biggest letters he wrote to individual churches. We also know he references a third letter, which we don't have, but we know at one point, at least, it existed. And as we read those letters, a picture begins to emerge of a church that has some issues. Corinth is a tough city. It's a big city. It's a busy city. It's a difficult place to be the church. There are pagan temples there. Corinth is a city known for prostitution and indulgence and excess, maybe the reputation of a Vegas or an Amsterdam in our era. And the Christians in Corinth, at least some of them, had gotten confused by Paul's message. Paul told them about freedom in Christ. And what they heard was, we are free to do what we want. Paul told them, you're free from sin. And they thought, then there is no sin. And in this first letter alone, if you read through the issues, here is a sampling. There was a man who was living with his mother-in-law, his father's wife. She had divorced him, living with her son-in-law. The church is okay with it. There are church members frequenting brothels and temple prostitutes. The church thinks this is normal. There are people fighting over who is better based on who baptized them. They're lining up and taking sides. There are church members suing each other in local courts. There are people in the church arguing over who has the best spiritual gifts, arguing over Jewish laws and eating food sacrificed to idols. And maybe worst of all for Paul, there are people in the church denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's just letter number one, which evidently they didn't love receiving, because in letter two, Paul spends a significant part of the letter defending his place as an apostle. In other words, part of what they sent back to him was, why should we listen to you? Now, all of this mess, Paul knows. As he sits down to write this, what he calls letter, though it's 16 chapters, we call it a book. And listen how he starts. To the church in Corinth, called to be saints, I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace given to you in Jesus Christ. In every way, you've been enriched in Him, and you do not lack any spiritual gift. With everything Paul knows about this church, and even knowing some of what he's going to have to say to them, he starts by saying, I'm always thankful for you, and you do not fall short. Yeah, right. Now, maybe Paul's lying. Maybe he doesn't think that at all. Maybe he's saying an insincere thing at the beginning of a letter to soften them up. Like when you say good to see you to someone you didn't really need to see. Or nice to talk to you when it maybe not. It could be that Paul's just putting a positive spin on things before he has to rough them up a little. That's not the way Paul normally does things. I always thank God for you. I bet each of us has a few people in our life it'd be pretty hard to say that about. If we're honest, there are some folks we couldn't make that statement to, yes? If we talk to God about those people at all, I bet it's not gratitude. Yet here is Paul writing to this messy, frustrating group of confused Christians and saying he's thankful. Why can he say this? How can this be true? Well, I think this might be the key. Because of the grace God has given you in Christ Jesus. Paul, while I am sure he's trying to be thankful for each one of them, is thankful that God loves each one of them. He is thankful that God's grace covers even these messy people. Paul, who may have wanted to give up on them, is grateful knowing that God will not. He says it this way, God who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful. Paul has good reason to doubt the Corinthians' faithfulness, but he has no doubt of God's faithfulness. And because of that, Paul doesn't see enemies. He doesn't see threats. He doesn't see primarily problems. He sees the grace of God at work and the hope that gives him. He sees people God loves drifting from the truth and wandering from the path like lost children, and he believes God is seeking them out to lead them back. Now, you can't read the rest of this letter and not hear some anger and frustration. But if you read it carefully, it's hard to miss that underneath of all of that is love. It's faith. And typically, when you study Scripture, the opening of a letter is not the most challenging part of the book. It's not really the teaching part. Typically, you just get through it so you can get on to the other stuff. But this might be the most important part of the letter. The rest of Corinthians actually is full of stuff that seems outdated to us in a lot of ways. Issues that aren't really issues for us. But this part, loving people who are hard to love, being thankful for people who drive you crazy, and seeing them through the grace of Christ, that might be the toughest thing Paul writes in the whole letter. I give thanks to God for you because I believe God's grace is at work in you. I believe you are a beloved child of God, and I see you that way. I see that in you. I see you becoming that. We could say that to our loved ones. We say that to people we admire, people we respect, people we agree with pretty easily. But do we get how difficult it is to think that about people that we don't think that about? Do we hear the power of a Christian who have every reason to blast others who are getting it wrong and instead starts by saying how grateful he is that they too are in Christ? How they have all they need to be who they're called to be. Next time one of your grown numbers or emails or people show up, friends, I challenge you, think about this passage. Think about Paul. Think about not choosing anger or judgment or disappointment or criticism. Think about leaving those arrows in the quiver and choosing grace. Think about giving thanks for the one you struggle with. Being grateful for the promise that God loves them and is working on them, is doing something in their life, covering them with the gift of Christ, just like you. Give thanks for the opportunity to grow and struggle to learn how to love difficult people. The reminder that God doesn't call the perfect. God doesn't start with finished products. We are all works in progress, and sometimes not much progress if we're honest. It is a constant temptation of human life to love people for who we think they ought to be, instead of who they are. Maybe what we learn from Paul, that is not good enough. It's not enough to love those who are lovable. It's not enough to love those we agree with. It's not enough to love people who do good things and we admire. What we learn from Paul is that ultimately we are to love people because God loves them and because God has chosen to share with them the grace of Jesus Christ. And if God has chosen that, what choice do we have but to do the same? Amen.